And I feel like my way of honoring my donor, I might not know who they are, but my way of honoring them is just to continue to advocate for organ donation.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifeBank. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. Spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. Let's talk about life.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. Happy Donate Life Month, when our attention turns to the fabulous season of saving lives. Blue and green dominate our wardrobe for the month. Donate Life flags are flying all around town, and even the Terminal Tower in downtown Cleveland will shine the Donate Life colors over the land. It is time to promote organ, eye, and tissue donation as the right thing to do. Hi, you're listening to episode 146 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. April is a time when LifeBank works with our supporters and those touched by donation and transplantation to share our life-saving message. How will you participate in Donate Life Month? We encourage you to follow LifeBank on our social media channels to learn all about the things you can do to promote Donate Life, as well as events happening throughout the month. However, one of the easiest things you can do is to continue to listen to this episode of Let's Talk About Life and share it with your family and friends. This episode demonstrates the power, impact, and importance of organ, eye, and tissue donation. I am super excited and want to get right to our story. In this episode, we are fortunate to talk with someone who knows the donation process from the inside out. Hannah Fleming is a Cleveland Clinic Akron General Surgical Team nurse who also participates in donor recoveries with LifeBank. Hannah, thank you so much for making yourself available for this conversation. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so thankful to be here.
Oh, well, we appreciate it. We're grateful that you're out there helping to save and heal lives. How long have you been a nurse at Akron General?
So my nursing career started just a little over 3 years ago. Right out of nursing school, I originally was working on a floor, getting a good foundation of nursing experience. And then I transferred over to Akron General just over a year ago. So I've been in the operating room for just about a year.
Wow, that's good. You're growing and progressing and learning more, experiencing more new things. That's wonderful.
Yes, I always like to keep pushing myself to try new things.
You will. I have a feeling you will. Can you tell us about your specific role as a surgical team nurse and what that entails?
So on a day-to-day basis, I'm an OR circulating nurse. So I just help assist with the procedures in any way that I can and just facilitating the procedure. And then also we do the LifeBank like organ procurement surgeries as well. And those are ones that have a good connection to me. So those are always happy endings.
Yeah, for sure. Can you explain what it's like, the feeling and inside that OR when there's an organ donor getting ready to save and heal lives of others?
I think being able to participate in the organ donation process at any point, you know, the process is very long and it's just incredible even just to have that small piece of the pie, you know, and just help. So when we hear that there is a LifeBank case for a patient that's ready for us, there's just kind of like this, I don't want to say like excitement, but this bond that the team shares that we just know that unfortunately, yes, it is like a unfortunate outcome for a family, but we know that on the other side, that person is going to be able to help so many individuals and so many families. And it's just kind of incredible experience for the team to go through. So we all just put our best foot forward, you know, and get things ready to go as quickly as we can and go from there.
to me, it seems like a different type of surgery, almost like a sacred process. I know we do a moment of honor prior to beginning the recovery, and I know I would be in tears. I don't know. I would have to maintain a level of professionalism, obviously, but I think, you know, for me, honoring that individual would be so moving.
It's funny you bring that up. I think the moment of silence that we have is by far like my favorite part of participating in the experience. It's our way as operating room staff to honor that individual and also honor the individuals that they're going to help as well, you know.
Many of our listeners have never heard the moment of honor. So I'm going to play a clip that is from our overview video that is exactly what is said before every organ donor case and prior to the beginning of the recovery.
Today we share a common space and join in a common cause. Through the caring touch of our hearts and hands, we join our efforts to care for our donor hero and for all who will benefit from this gift of life. For all the children, grandchildren, friends, and family who are touched by what we do here today, may we remember that fresh hopes and dreams began with the gift of this one person. May we take a moment in silence now to honor the life of our donor hero.
That is just amazing to me. It just is so profound.
You're like chilling. Like you just get that. It just has that aura, and you know everybody's there for the right reasons, and it's just this immense, like I honestly can't even put into words, but it's an incredible experience, and I really really enjoy that we do the moment of honor because, like you said, it is a way to thank the donor for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to mislead our listeners, but there's really a primary reason for you being here, and that's because you have a lifelong connection to donation and transplantation. Ever since you were an infant, as a matter of fact, why do you want to share your connection?
Sure, I would love to. So I myself am actually an organ recipient. When I was born, I was diagnosed with biliary atresia, which for those of you who don't know, it's a dysfunction of the bile ducts in the liver. And unfortunately, that meant the inevitable that I would need a liver transplant. So when I was just 8 months old, I was lucky enough to be a recipient of a liver and I had my liver transplant.
Wow. It always is a little unnerving that liver recipients seem to be so ill before they get a transplant. And I can't even imagine what your parents were going through. Have they shared their experience with you, like their point of view?
Oh, yes. Many, many times. I know when I was a small child, my mom would actually go do public speaking events to help spread awareness and encourage organ donation because to us, it's very important, you know.
Obviously.
But I feel like over the last 2 years, honestly, I have become very active in promoting organ donation for sure. I've kind of embraced my story more than I could ever imagine.
Sometimes when you're ill at that young age, obviously you're not aware of what you're going through. Just
right.
Doing what needs to be done, but processing it and growing up and, you know, understanding it really takes a long, long time.
So. Yeah, I know. One of my mom's favorite stories she likes to tell is when I was very sick and little, you know, we would make plenty of trips between where we lived near Akron, Ohio, and then down to Cincinnati Children's, which is where I had my transplant. And many trips back and forth, I kind of had gotten sick for like that final time, you know. And we had a long day. I couldn't even imagine how exhausted my parents were from driving all the way there and everything they had to go through. And they pretty much told my parents that it was kind of the end of the line for me. They encouraged my parents to take me home, you know, make me comfortable. They hadn't found a donor yet for me. So my mom was completely discouraged and she's like, no, that's not good enough. She's like, I'm not going to take her home. Like, I don't want to believe this. And my parents actually kind of persuaded them to let us stay one more night just so they could drive home the next day, have a fresh start, you know. And that one more night that I had is honestly what changed my life. Wow. My mom got the phone call at 2:30 in the morning that they found a organ for me.
Wow. And to be clear, there aren't a lot of pediatric donors. I mean, thankfully. However, when you look at the other side of the coin, that means kids on the waiting list really have a difficult time just receiving an organ transplant. And
right.
What a blessing. What a blessing. Do you know anything about your donor?
I don't. I know my parents tried to reach out a few times. And then I tried when I was in high school and I kind of started to understand things a little bit more, we'll say. But no, I never heard anything back. But that's okay. You know, I'm really thankful for everything that all the opportunities I've had with my family and with my friends. And I feel like my way of honoring my donor, I might not know who they are, but my way of honoring them is just to continue to advocate for organ donation.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. That's beautiful. So what would you say about growing up? Do you think your life was different because you were a liver recipient, or did you just go with the flow and things were more normal than most people would imagine?
I definitely think growing up, like when you're a kid, I didn't think anything was different. You know, I thought I was kind of like everybody else. But once high school started to come around, I feel like that's when things got like a little bit more challenging, you know, because I took a step back and, you know, girls feel different ways about their bodies and stuff. And, you know, I have this large scar on my stomach and I quickly realized that like I wasn't like everybody else. And then being an organ recipient and then having the anti-rejection medication, you can't drink alcohol. So that was definitely a hard part, you know what I mean? Growing up and being in college and stuff. All your friends want to go out for the weekend and you're like, I'm just going to study.
Yeah.
You know, so you just got to find other outlets. You know what I mean? Surround yourself with people that support your decisions and your choices and people who are interested in the same things that you're interested in.
Yeah. I can't imagine though. I mean, that is difficult. How much medication are you on?
So I just take like one anti-rejection medication. I take like Tacro, Prograf.
Uh-huh.
But about 2 years ago, I actually had my first episode of acute liver rejection.
Okay.
It was honestly, when I was hospitalized, the doctors couldn't believe I was there. They were like, is this your second time, third time being here? And I'm like, no, this is my first.
Wow.
Like, I had never experienced that before. I didn't know what was going to happen. It was very scary for me and my family. But ever since then, they put me on a second anti-rejection medication. So now I take two. But honestly, I will 100% do that. It's the little trade-off for having a lifetime of happiness, for sure.
For sure. And liver recipients tend to take a lot less immunosuppression than other organs, just because the liver does regenerate and it does so well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to hear they had things straightened out.
Yes. I was only there for 14 days. So I really can't complain because I know a lot of organ recipients have a different experience and a way tougher time.
Mm-hmm.
But just those 14 days was brutal.
Well, so, that's enough. That's enough.
Yeah.
You know, when they say the word rejection, I know all the bells and whistles and alarms go off in your head. And
in my family, we growing up as a kid, we never talked about it. You know, it was always that thing, like it could happen, but we didn't want to talk about it. We didn't want to bring it up, but it was always the R word. And it was kind of like, once it happened, you're like, oh geez, you know, like you get that phone call and your heart sinks and you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the absolute truth about that. I've experienced it a couple of times, again, not like you, not often. But still, your mind goes to the, you know, to the worst possible scenario. And you're just like, oh, my gosh. because you know how much you've been through, you know, to get to this point. Yeah, it is. It is a scary situation. Well, I'm so glad that worked out. My goodness.
Yeah, thank you.
And you've had your transplant since 1998?
Yes. So this past year, I celebrated 25 years.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
it was a big one.
Oh, it was. How did you celebrate?
It's kind of funny. Every year, my parents always tell me I have two birthdays. So we always celebrate with an ice cream cake. And it's just kind of a day surrounded by like friends and family just to be happy for one another, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Your future is so bright. Can you tell us what you are working on and your career's going to take off and how you want to see your future?
Yeah, I would love to. So I obviously have always been interested in organ donation, but when I went to nursing school, I wasn't sure where I was going to fit. Like I always knew I wanted to go into nursing, but I didn't really know where my niche was. And I feel like working in the operating room this past year and a half has completely opened my eyes and made me realize this is what I'm passionate about. You know, I did a couple volunteer things with Life Bank with you guys, and it just made me realize I really do have a passion for this. You know, like I'm deeply rooted and connected, and this is what I really want to do with my life. So I do have some news, actually. I just accepted a position up at Cleveland Clinic main campus, working on their liver team.
Get out of town. I have a scoop on my podcast.
You do. You do.
Breaking news. I love it.
So I'm very excited. Honestly, I'm very honored for the opportunity. I feel like I have some big shoes to fill when I go up there for sure.
Oh, well, but, congratulations. I'm so thrilled for you. That's exciting.
So, thank you. I am very excited. I'm nervous. Don't let me kid you. I am very nervous, but it's something that I'm truly passionate about, and I feel like it's an amazing opportunity.
Well, talk about full circle, and how lovely that you can help those patients. I think that's, you're going to be a beacon for those patients. So, I think that's phenomenal.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. That's wonderful.
You know, and then the occasional, I'm just getting my master's degree on the side, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anything you want to say more about donation and transplantation that we haven't covered?
I'm just really thankful to be able to continue to advocate for organ donation.
Well, we're thankful that you're sharing your story today. You are the prime example of what giving life looks like. Truly, geez, from 8 months old to what you are now and going forward and working with liver transplant recipients, my gosh, it's full circle and it's a wonderful thing. Hannah, you are the best. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate this so much.
Well, we're going to sign you up as a Life Bank volunteer for sure. So,
that sounds good to me. I'll be there.
All right.
Give me a day and a time.
Okay. Thank you so much. I wish you all a very happy Donate Life Month. And please share the gift of life and the importance about being a registered organ, eye, and tissue donor with everyone you know.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is depending on it.